You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
Later, because we're not going to rush into this. We'll continue to this next month. And then we talk about the launching family. Launching family, that's when you're sending your children off to college and off to military, or they're just moving in the house. Or moving into moving to New York because South Carolina is too small for them, and the career that they're trying to get into is not here in South Carolina. All that kind of stuff. You understand? That's the launching family years. And then tonight we're going to spend some time talking about the family in later years. We ain't quite there yet.
I'm going to say we're not there yet.
We ain't quite there yet.
Well, I'm not there yet.
But we're going to talk about that tonight. To everything there's a season, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, and a time for every purpose under heaven. And so we're going to take some time tonight to talk about this this family, these middle age, the family in later years, or the middle age adults.
Yeah.
Middle age adults. And with respect to children, I've put about a 20-year span in for this part, somewhere depending on when you had your children, mm-hmm. how young you had your children, how old you were, how young you were when you had them, and whether they launched while you were still younger, et cetera. So we're putting a kind of a rough range in here of from age 40 to age 60 as middle age adults. And so in many cases, by now, somewhere between that age, you become empty nesters. Children have launched, and we talked last week about when you're empty nesters, how you have to learn to occupy yourself with tasks and activities that may be apart from your children. We talk about recommitting in your marriage, redeveloping intimacy and communication. Sometimes you have to refocusing on yourself, perhaps improving yourself, going back to school, finishing up a degree, getting an advanced degree, or just working out all the time, and so you can get your college self back.
That's what you think?
Why are you taking this personal? I'm just speaking in general. Okay? You get a new hairstyle and all that kind of stuff, and get more pedicures and manicures and all that kind of stuff. So you can focus on yourself.
All that kind of stuff.
You can say, yeah. I'll see you when I see you. I'll be back.
Yeah. Okay? Shaving your head and polishing your head. And
yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Rebuilding relationships with each other, which parents may feel sometimes you have no purpose without children, which is why we said you got to redirect that. But here's something else we want to take the time to talk about tonight, because many times during this stage, you get thrown a curveball. Many of you planned on it, some of you didn't plan on it, but you end up being there, and it can happen so quickly that it messes you up, and that's caring for elderly parents. So now you finish caring for your children. You think, hey, party.
Me.
And all of a sudden, something happened with your parents. And now you realize that you're back in that caring mode again. Right. And you're not necessarily caring for children, but you're caring for your mother, for your father, for your mother-in-law, for your father-in-law. And some of us have thought about that. Some of us planned on that. Some of you may even look forward to it. And then some of you, you're shocked by it. And it can bring in crisis. It can bring in crisis because maybe there's financial needs that have to be met. Most of the time, many times it causes crisis because somebody's life is severely altered with time. You could have been in the throes of your career. You could have been right at the place where you're getting ready. Now you figure the kids aren't there. You're taking a promotion that now is going to require you to do more traveling,
right?
Or to stay at the office later. But now you have a aging parent who you have to take care of, and so we want to talk a little bit about that. But even before I talk about that, you know, let's look backwards again to these children. Now these children are now adults. They're independent. They're outside of your home, and one of the things that parents have to do in this stage is readjust how you think of yourself. You can't think of yourself as mama and daddy to be obeyed anymore. You were used to that. You were used to telling them when to go, when to come, what time you better be home, all that kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, y'all, one of the interesting things yet that you go through is when your children going off to college, okay, and they have a dorm room or they have an apartment at school. But when they come home, where they come back to? They come back to your house. Now, while they was on campus, they stayed after 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's what they used to doing. And then they come home, y'all, for the weekend. They come home for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. And they still think they can come in your house at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. That's a major deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You wasn't planning on that. They weren't thinking about that. And all of a sudden you said, and you know, you probably didn't even talk about it. Because remember, when they were last home before they went to college, they understood the rules. You in this house by 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever the case, depending on your child. And then they come home, and all of a sudden you hear the door opening at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, oh, no, they are not walking up in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. They haven't thought about it because that's what they do on campus. As an independent adult. So now we got this stage here that we have to communicate
right.
And understand you are independent on campus.
Right. Right.
You're grown on campus, but you can't come up in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And it becomes a real dilemma. How many of your parents have gone through that? Okay.
Sometimes it's not even if they're going off to school. They could be just turned 18, 19, and
yeah.
You feel, hey, I'm grown, technically, so I should be able to stay out later.
But the reason why I'm saying it usually becomes more drastic when they're going off to school because they've been used to doing that.
Yeah, and they'll try to do it.
Yeah, and you have to set some ground rules. My daughter, and because she's the only girl, I remember she kept saying to me, she said, Seema, you got different rules for me than you do for the boys. Yep, I do. I said, you haven't heard too much about boys being, about 18, 19, year, 20-year-old black men being abducted. When the last time you heard about that? When the last time you heard about sex trafficking of a 20-year-old black man?
That's true.
You don't hear that.
Right.
So the rules got to be different.
They do.
And young ladies, they don't understand that. Well, the same rule. No, it's not the same rules.
One of the most challenging things, though, as they are entering adulthood as parents, you have to really think about or hear yourself talking to them. You got to change your tone. And sometimes that does not happen until there's some type of conflict, major, major conflict in the home, because your young adult now still feels like you're talking to them like they're a child or a teen. So that's one of the biggest things that is, we saw that when they started growing older, getting older, we had to make some adjustments. You can't talk at them. You shouldn't yell at them or talk down to them. You got to talk to them like they're adults and that they're like they're intelligent.
Yeah. And because, watch this, because they're grown with a little G. That's why everybody. You can't be big G till you're outside of my house. Okay? Tyler now is completely grown. Okay? You can't be, I would say you're grown with a little G. As long as you're in my house and you're still dependent on me for expenses.
Yeah.
That's grown. That's y'all, young people, y'all need to understand that.
Yeah.
I'm grown. How you gonna stand in my house?
It's kind of awkward.
And tell me you grown.
It's kind of awkward because when you are still providing and taking care of them, you still have them that.
We're very conscious you ain't grown.
You know, that child mode.
You know? You think we're grown and we know you ain't grown.
And so we might cross back into that place of talking at you because we're still taking care of you. You know, so it's a tight rope walk to, you know, to try to maneuver on when they're in that transitional phase of their life. And you have to remind yourself, it's not so much of them feeling like they're grown. They want to feel like you respect them. And it's an awkward place and it's a challenging place to be.
So a lot of times your role here has to change from mommy and daddy to be obeyed to mom or dad as a family advisor and counselor. And you got to make that shift because they can make independent decisions. You want them to make independent decisions, but you want them, we'll talk more about this in a moment, you want them to honor you enough, perhaps to include you into those decisions that you can give them some input. But so you can no longer with adult children who are outside the home with launch and all that, you can no longer dictate to your children. You can no longer dictate to them. You can advise them. In John 9 chapter verse 23, y'all remember this story? The man had gotten healed. He had gotten healed and he was blind. And so they said, this man, Jesus could have healed you. He's a devil. The man said, whether he's a devil or not, I don't know. All I know, I once was blind, but now I see. Y'all can call him what you want him. I call him healer. And so then they got his parents. And they said, how long has he been blind? They said, since he was a child. They said, well, how can he see now? His parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Mm. There comes an age where you can no longer answer for your children. He is of age. Ask him. And I say that in so many aspects of that, because sometimes, and Bishop Jakes helped us with this on the downside of that thing. When Bishop Jakes came here, we talked about a lot of things. Bishop Jakes is very much a family man. And he said, many times those of us who are in ministry and those of us who serve in the ministry, or we have some type of public persona, and we want everybody to believe that we that family on the funeral fan. Perfect. You know, we all got our Easter clothes on and we're looking towards Jesus and our hands are folded and a light is shining. There's a halo over our head and there's aha music behind us. That is not the reality. Okay. None of us are perfect people. None of us have perfect families. No, nobody has anyone who's above mistakes. And when you are really trying to put this persona out that you are perfect and you all got it all together, that's when the devil, I think, comes at you the most. Y'all know us, respect me even more so. I'm real transparent. You don't have to gossip about me. I'm going to tell you. Okay. You don't have to. You don't have to try to get any scuttlebutt or read between the lines. I'm gonna give you the lines. Y'all heard a couple days ago they have this website that was is a website where married people go on to have affairs. Y'all heard about this website? And so the website was hacked, and it's like millions of people who are on this website with names and phone numbers and addresses. And the people hacked the site told them they better take it down or they're going to start releasing names. And so we was watching this on the news. I said to Pastor Marcia, I said, "Woo! I'm so glad I took my name off that site." I said, "I took my name off that site just in time." And Pastor Marcia said, she said, "You couldn't hide nothing anyway." She said, "It would come out while you're preaching. You would tell it." Because y'all know that I'm transparent. But you know, when you're not transparent, you're trying to put a facade, then you got all this anxiety about people going to find out you aren't perfect. Find out your kids aren't perfect. Don't put yourself out there to be perfect.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
If you was perfect, you wouldn't need the blood and you wouldn't need grace.
Right. And it's so much so regarding, especially in church, it's about image.
Yeah.
It's not about trying to be perfect. You're concerned about your image, your look, and what people might think or say about you. And so it gets so twisted when it comes to our children, because kids are kids and they have battles just like we have battles. But we're more proficient in spiritual warfare than our children. And even young adults, we're more proficient. We just live this path, this life longer than them. And so they may not do everything right. And so when something might happen, it can get very stressful. I think image, being preoccupied with your image is a very stressful life.
Yes.
You know, you're concerned about what's going to happen. When life hits you, you're more fearful what people are going to say than what's actually happening to the house. You know, and so and when you're stressed out, you have a tendency to say something that you really, really regret years down the road. Like, if because of you, this is going to happen, or don't come to church, you know, because you're embarrassed about what happened.
Where
is
it supposed to go? If you tell your child, don't come to church, where is it supposed to go? Go to the club, but don't come to church? Go to the bar, but don't come to church? If they don't go nowhere else, we want them to come to church. I know you go strip at, you slide down the pole, but after come you finish church. Sliding down the pole, come to church.
Right.
I mean, what is the hope for anybody if they're not under the word?
Right.
Things
right.
surely aren't going to get any better.
Right.
And watch this. Oh, man, I said this at noon. You cannot be more concerned about your reputation than you are about their soul.
Wow.
And parents, we got to be real careful about wow. that. And so what I was saying that Bishop Jakes said, he said, our children are not supporting actors in our play so we can get an Academy Award for our performance. And a lot of times that's how we think of it. You know, play your part, act right. So everybody think I'm this. And so what happens, watch this, when you ought to be attacking the devil, you attack your children. Because you think your children is the enemy. You think your children trying to destroy you, your children trying to mess you up. And when the devil comes after them, that ain't about you. That's about them. And you got to keep the focus where it is. You know, the devil's trying to destroy your life. I've lived my life. Right. I'm living my life. I'm responsible for my behavior. Right. You're responsible for your behavior. I'm talking now to these late teens and these young adults. You know, you have to reckon what you're going to have to do. As my son Daniel said last week, you can't just tell him you're a devil. Get out of here. Hmm. Okay. You're going to have to love them through that. Advise them through it. And they need to know, watch this, y'all. It's a hard thing, but it takes the love of God. Your children ought to know you love them unconditionally.
Yeah.
Everybody say unconditional love.
Unconditional
love means you don't have to qualify for me to love you. I may hate the fact that you got tattoos all over your face. I may not like the fact that you got earrings going on your nose, your lips, and everything. But you do not have to not have an earring for me to love you. You do not have to not have a tattoo for me to love you. My love for you is unconditional. Right. And a parent's love for their children is supposed to be unconditional.
Right.
When that child comes out and is born, you love them.
Right.
Am I right? They have not qualified for you to love them. Okay? Some of us had good looking children and some of us had better looking children. Amen. Nobody talks about that. We know that's the truth. But anyway, but you didn't love them based upon what the child looked like. You love them because that's your child. You didn't love them because they did or did not have your husband's forehead and your mother's nose and your grandmother's feet. Okay? They didn't have to qualify for you to love them. And that unconditional love, and it can be challenging during the rebellion years and when during the tough times, but your children really got to know, even we having a rough time and I don't like anything you're doing, they know that you love them.
Right.
Your child being involved in a homosexual lifestyle should not affect you loving them.
Right.
If anything, it's the love that's going to maybe that's make them think about the lifestyle that they're living rather than you being hateful towards them.
Right. And as it goes for the natural family, let us as a spiritual family. Don't judge the young people when they get off. You know, they should feel okay when they come to church and not have to walk by whispers.
And no, y'all, and we've heard this. Amen. We've heard this. We've heard this from young people. We've heard this from millennials who said they didn't want to come to church because they see people, and it's not the younger people. Mm-mm. It's the older people snickering about them and
talking
about them when they're walking by. And y'all, that should not be the case.
Right, right. Or even getting on them. I mean, they're already feeling bad. And I'm sure they've already been through the whole getting on circle of love from their family, mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles getting on them. We should really just love them. When they walk through that door, this should be a safe haven, a place they can run to that they know they will be loved unconditionally and receive healing and not hurt. So whatever we need to do as a spiritual family, let's fix that, because we still have young people getting pregnant, young people choosing alternative lifestyles, young people getting in gangs, young people getting caught up, young people's pictures probably going on flyers. But when they come through this door, we want to love them.
Amen. So your children at this age, and I said the scripture, children obey your parents, may no longer apply. But if you've done a fairly decent job in raising them, they will still honor their father right. and their mother. So even when they no longer have to obey you, if it's based upon how you've conducted yourself with them, that they will still honor you. And we're supposed to honor our parents, period. Okay? But it's easier to honor those who you know have been loving towards you and unconditionally loves you than it is just somebody who's always been at odds with you, always been on you, always been criticizing you. It's easier to do that with someone who's easier to honor. True. The Bible says, you know, it says about your even your spiritual leader, it said honor them. It didn't just say honor them for their position. It said honor them for their work's sake. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which brings me into this next part I want to talk about is that parents, you got to be thinking about wherever you are in your life right now, it's a stage. We're talking about family life stages, family life cycles, just stages. So that little child, that little, you know, I heard Joel Osteen say one time he refused to talk about his children having the terrible twos. He had anybody say we're gonna have the terrible twos. He said I just took authority with that. I kept saying we're gonna have the terrific twos. But if you keep confessing terrible twos, everything, there we go, the terrible twos. And before you know it, the terrible twos and terrible threes and terrible fours, because that's what you've been confessing, that's what you've been talking. Whatever stage you're in right now, you have to realize it's just a stage. Yeah. And when all this is over, yeah. we're still going to have relationship. Yeah. Do y'all hear me? So I know you're mad at your child right now for getting pregnant. But when this is all over, I'm still a grandparent.
Or when she has that baby, you fall in love. You happy.
Yeah. I know you're upset that your child did something stupid and got arrested. But when all this is over, we still going to have relationship. Now, that should be the ideal. But sometimes whether or not you have the relationship and whether that thing breaches the relationship or bridges the relationship, it depends how you handle that. You know, in the words of Kanye, what don't kill you make you stronger. Whoever thought Pastor Bell would be quoting Kanye, okay? And Kelly Clarkson too, you know? But in other words, what I'm saying, the things you can go through, it can really cause your children to see how much you're there for them, okay? My son Chandler, he talks about it to this day. When he realized the things he went through, the fact that we were there for him, and sometimes it was rough, but we supported him, we loved him through it, that has just made us closer. But now you can use those things and further alienate yourself from your children. That your children say, listen, if they tripped about this, I know I can't tell them this. If they tripped about that, I know I can never confide in them with this. I can never talk to them. So you have to think about that. And so mature people, the term the Bible uses is be sober. Everybody say sober.
Sober.
Sober doesn't, you know, when a person is drunk, they don't have all the faculties. They're thinking for the moment because they're not thinking things through. Well, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says that the aged women, older women, ought to be sober-minded and be able to teach the younger women. And so by you being the older person, you should be sober. Sober means clear thinking. And I got to think about how my behavior today is going to affect my relationship with them tomorrow. Now, watch this. If you are alienated from your children, that means you're probably going to be alienated from your grandchildren. But people don't think about that. Mm-mm. When they say, I don't want to talk to you. Don't come around here. I don't care where you go. Well, then they go and have a child, have a baby. They get married. But the last thing they heard, my parents don't want anything to do with me. So why should they have their children around you? And so a lot of times we're not thinking soberly about how is this going to end, watch this, after I get out of my feelings and think. Because we feeling some kind of way about their behavior right now, what they're doing right now, about the bad decisions that they made. But after this is all over, is my relationship with my child still going to be intact? Will they still honor me, or will I conduct myself in such a dishonorable way? Watch this. That I end up getting a dishonorable discharge from my children.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already launched your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.